Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Are you ready to learn the keys to copywriting success? My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 20 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. My co-host Kate Sitars and I, along with the rest of the Filthy Rich Writer team, are sharing everything we've learned in our decades in the industry so that you can start and scale a successful copywriting business of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello there, friends.
Hello.
So as always, I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Kate Sitars. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
And today we have the pleasure of being joined by a CCA student, a star CCA student, a CCA coach, and of course, a fabulous copywriter, Amy Densham. Hey, Amy.
Hi.
Hello. So we are super excited to be talking with you today. Kate and I have the pleasure of kind of working behind the scenes with you. And so many of our students have had the opportunity to benefit from your feedback in the group and also from one-on-one calls with you. So we know that you have a lot of insight to share. So let's dig in. What got you into copywriting? What's your story?
It was a dark and stormy night and I was born. It goes back to the beginning because I've always been told you should be a writer. You should be a writer, but with no clear way of how that's a thing you can do outside of Elizabethan sitting on the couch and writing. So I couldn't figure out how that worked. And instead I was like, I'll go to school, right? So I go to university for English and I realized there that I'm not writing either. I wrote like one essay for like 2 years. So like, never mind, this costs a lot. I'm not doing that anymore. Met my husband, we got married. We moved to New York City and there you're working to live. You need money, very expensive there. So, I mean, I've done telemarketing and retail and worked in coffee shops. And one was like a book shipping warehouse. And the first day the guy was like, you're going to love this job. You don't have to use your brain at all. And I was like, oh no, I am going to hate this job. I was like, I got to figure something else out right now. So I've done all of those things and bouncing around and I don't know what I'm doing, which I'm sure many people can relate to. Then my husband and I were like, okay, we got to go. We can't live here. We're going to go to Vegas. He had family there and we're like, maybe one day we can have a house. Maybe we can have stability. Maybe we can work somewhere. So fast forward through 13 years of me working in market research by accident. I thought it was a cashier job. Turned out to be a market research job. Cool. I got my bachelor's in, I think it was business, or well, I got my associate's in business, then my bachelor's in marketing, because I was like, I don't know, that's what I'm doing. And this whole time, I never heard about copywriting. I don't know why. So I do all of that. My job pays for school, which is amazing. We buy a house. It's all good. And then I think, as everyone knows, COVID happens and things change a little bit. We did have, my son was born at some point in there, very important. I just forgot that it happened somewhere there. And I did all my schooling online too. So that's important for later. Then I am at home for COVID and I am not driving to work for an hour every day in traffic. And I'm getting to put my son to bed at night. And I'm starting to realize that I have had anxiety for 30 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go outside. I started to actually deal with things instead of just being, I'm going to go to work. The next step is that I clock in. The next step is that I do this. And so that time of being at home was interesting. And it's like, something has to change was my first thought. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do from home? And I know everyone has Googled work from home. During COVID, everyone Googled that. So I tried so many things. I tried teaching kids English online, like the kids are in China and I'm teaching them English. Mm-hmm. So much fun. One-on-one teaching is fun. That also happens later in the CCA. I did that. I did listening to transcripts and writing them. That pays nothing. FYI, if anyone would like to try that, you could try, but it's very, very little money. What else did I try? There were some other things that obviously weren't good. I looked into writing blogs. I looked into self-publishing. But all of that, you have to do so much. You have to build so much to make $5. And then, of course, during this time, my husband says to me, you should be a copywriter. He's like, I read this thing about copywriting. You should be a copywriter. And I said, I don't know what that is. It doesn't sound good. No, whatever. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So maybe a few months later, I don't know if my phone heard him. I don't know what it was. But the Filthy Rich Writer ad comes up. And I spend like a month agonizing over it. And eventually I get it. And you can tell that by today, he says, I told you so. I was like, you're right. You're right. I will 100% say that this was your idea every time. And it was. And he's right. It's writing and it's marketing and it's something I can use my brain for. And it's something I can stay at home. That's the story. Hello. But now we're here.
I love that. When did you start to get the sense that this was a good path for you?
I think it was while I was reading the sales pages. I was seeing did people always say you should be a writer? Do you like using different voices and deciding what your own projects are going to be? All of it was exactly what I wanted. And so I don't know why it took me a month, because I just do that with everything, but it was right away.
That's great. And has it lived up to your expectations?
Yes. I mean, yes, it has. Since I think I started, we just went over this.
We just looked at
2022,
it.
Yeah. I think. Okay.
Yep.
I made the goal. I was like, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to finish it in a month. Because I have done that with getting my 2 years of bachelor's degree. I did it in 3 months because I was online and I could just go through it, which is insane. Please don't do it. It's just something I do. I listed things at 3x speed and Zoom. And I realized I shouldn't do that. As soon as I was in the course, I was like, oh, I need to do the things and think and pause, which is a huge thing for me to learn how to do, because I had just been going for 13 years. So pausing, learning, absorbing, amazing. Then I started finding designers for my spec pieces. And that was my first project, which I think was in June. So it's not like I was telling myself, you're taking too long, but that's insane. Please, no one do that. You take as long as you're going to take. One project in June. And then I, had to finish my portfolio, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a fluke, right? I don't know how I did that. But I think July, August is when I started trying to find clients, and I got them. And every month since then, I have grown my income. And during that time, so income is big. And I know people listen to the podcast and they're like, they're making $10,000 or whatever. I am not making $10,000 a month. I don't need $10,000 a month. For my place in life, my goal was to be able to exist and not be stressed and do certain things. So my big measurements of this has been, can I relax? Can I control my own day? And like the further wins, other than obviously making more and making enough that I need, is we were able to sell our house in Nevada and move back to New York State, which we couldn't do with our old job. So now we're near both our families. Now we have a place instead of like just a home and just going to work every day. Now we went on our first vacation ever, me and my husband and my son together, because before we had to ask for time off. We could never get the same time off. First vacation. So that stuff has been really where I've been like, this is it. This is right. I'm going to do this forever.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, really glad that you said that, because I do think that it's so easy to get caught up in numbers and be like, all right, because it's quantifiable, right? Like, oh, I want to get to that goal. It certainly does make sense if people have numericals. Fantastic. But I love that you mentioned this, because it doesn't have to be a number goal. It can be a quality of life goal. And how amazing that you have been able to craft the life that you want to be leading, and to be able to take vacation with your family. Whoa, concept. But to be able to take vacation with your family. I mean, I think that's really fantastic. And I'm curious too, how has moving into a new career and building a business, how has that been with your anxiety?
It's a balancing act, because I had ascribed, like you do, all of my problems to my old job. Like, maybe my boss told me to do this and I'm mad about it, or we tried to do this, it didn't work. And then I realized, like, now as my own boss, a regular request is something that I will go 1,000% on, like doing 2 years of work in 3 months. So when I give myself a regular request, I also have the instinct to like, this has to be perfect. I have to do like 500 drafts of this. I have to. So now I'm realizing I might be the one that's doing this to myself. But to have the time to even reflect on that, it's happening because I am now my own boss. Before, it's just input, output, every time. So is it easy? No. Is it doable? Absolutely. And you have to reach out for help. That's one thing that really attracted me to the course too. Knowing that it was lifetime, so I could mess up and leave and come back and whatever I thought was going to happen. And that it had the Facebook group. That I think that was the main reason. I was like, okay, there's other people there. I can do an assignment. Someone will tell me if it's good or not, because I only want to hear if it's bad. Someone says it's good, I probably don't even register it, because that's a whole other issue. But someone says like, you need to fix this and this, I'm like, yes, let's fix the thing. So I needed to know that was going to happen, and it absolutely does. And now I'm the person hopefully saying this is good, and also here's a little tip.
Yes, exactly.
You absolutely are that person. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that too, because I think that that's something that's easy to overlook as people are kind of considering getting started. I think that's been one of the biggest surprises for so many students, is how fantastic the Facebook group is, which I can take absolutely no credit for. We just have a really, really fantastic group of people, and people who are willing to share their work and ask for feedback and give supportive feedback. And then of course too, we have fantastic coaches such as yourself. What made you decide to start coaching with us?
I think I watched Pitchapalooza and I was making my long list of places I wanted to pitch. And I saw the already fantastic coaches that were already going, Dory and Stacy and Stuart. And I thought, I'm spending 1,000,000 hours on the Facebook group, and I would post my feedback for someone. And then I would sometimes see one of them, and they would sometimes say like, I agree, or here's something else. And so I was using that to build my own knowledge. I was like, okay, when I said this, they agreed. Okay, cool. When I said this, they said maybe something else here or a different way of looking at it. And I was like, I'm already doing that in a way. I don't know if I'm good or not, but in Pitchapalooza, it's like, let's go, just pitch. So I was like, I'd like to do this. I'd like to officially be that. So that's what I was like, I'm just going to pitch to you guys. What are you going to do? At least I'm going to show I'm learning. At least I'm going to try to do it. That's why I just reached out and tried not to feel like I was judging myself too much.
I love that. Awesome. Yeah. Yes.
It was mutual. What I loved, we had to like rein you in your feet. I remember you would leave like, and I was like, mm-hmm. Amy must be spending 5 hours a day in the Facebook group. How is she? And your feedback is just, it's still so, so, so very valuable. But yes, it's,
I do type like 90 words a minute.
Good. So. Yeah.
It's just talk to text, like spewing it out.
Smart, actually.
God, I know. That's kind of genius. Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. I'm like, why don't I do that?
Well, and now that you've had the chance to work with students both in the group and on coaching calls, mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite tips to give, or some of the things that you love sharing with people that kind of lead them to that like, oh, moment?
Yeah, there are quite a few that come up a lot, which is good news. Like if you're having the same thoughts and issues as everyone else, congratulations, you're a copywriter, you're a freelancer, you're doing it. You're also feeling insecure and having resistance. So some of the main ones in the group when people post their action sheets, a lot of times, and I was guilty of this, my main feedback is clear over clever. Because we're all thinking we have to be so clever. We have to be so witty. We have to, that's how we're going to get the attention. But you don't have to be. And that's good news too. It's hard to be clever and witty all the time. I don't know if I've ever done it necessarily, but I know it's hard to do it all the time. So clear over clever. What am I really trying to say? Instead of how do I make this entire post about bears? You know, like how do I fit everything into this theme? Instead, just like, what am I really trying to say? That's something that's hard for me even now. I'm not saying it's easy, but I say that to myself a lot. I have it on a little post-it. Clear over clever is the main one. For people who are worried about getting feedback, I see that's very common. Like I'm posting this. Please be gentle. It's my first time posting this. I get it. I was like that for a long time in high school. I would just melt into the floor if anyone read my work, hated it. Teachers would do it, and I would just be ready to cry. So I get it. But I think of everything as a draft. Because for me, if it's finished, that's something I can be judged on, right? It's not. It's a draft, and we're going to change it. It's fluid. And also, your draft is not you. It's not you created this thing. You're your own person. When I say maybe move the sentence around, it doesn't mean you have chosen wrong in your life. Just separate those two. And the last one, it's funny because the first person who told me this was one of my coworkers, and he phrased it differently. He said, C's get degrees. So he said, I'm only aiming to get a C in this class because I work full time. I need to get my degree. I can't push up to the 100%. And for a perfectionist like me, I was like, what are you talking about? Spend the extra 80 hours to get this one quiz slightly better, which now I recognize is insane. But I think it might be Kate who says it the most here. Like, done is better than perfect is the short form of it. But mm-hmm. like, I try to think of it, get this to 80%, because 80% is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend X amount of time doing that. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend double the time getting it to 90. You're going to spend triple the time getting it to 100. And is that a measurable difference? So that goes back to the overworking yourself. That goes back to thinking it's you on a page. Inaction gets you nowhere. Getting it a little bit done and out, you can move to the next one, or you can move to the next draft.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. And the last one is, it's like eating an elephant. all my life, I've always said that because big ideas are scary. Big, huge things to do are scary. Elephants aren't scary, but same thing. So it's like eating an elephant. You can only do it one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, and yeah, the done is better than perfect. It's exactly what you said about everything's a draft. Like, I think it comes up most with portfolios that I usually say that I feel like is like, get your portfolio out there so that it's out there. It's, and then you can keep work. Like, it's always a work in progress. Like, we know, right? Your portfolio is never done. Like mine right now, not done. It needs updating.
Yeah. I'm using this as an excuse to, I'm going to like, I have to update it before this comes out.
We'll get you a deadline by the end. Don't worry. We love deadline.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. It's, you know, you want to put your best foot forward, but it's not your perfect foot, right? It's just,
well, what is perfect?
Like, yeah, it's art, right? The cool thing about copywriting is you have this combination of creativity, of art and strategy, and where you meet in the middle is where we have our fantastic projects. But yeah, you can't, and even I guess with strategy, you never hit perfection. So getting your work out there, and I think all of our students will attest to the fact that it is a very supportive group, even if you're feeling nervous, even if you're saying, all right, be gentle. First of all, people are going to be gentle. And second of all, you can't learn and you can't improve if you're not getting feedback. I think something that surprises a lot of copywriting students is that copywriting is a very collaborative field. You know, I think so many of us are used to, if we have loved writing, you know, we're writing our own essays or we're writing our own stories, and maybe we'll share them. Maybe we'll try to publish them, or maybe we'll get to the point where you're working with an editor. Amazing. But with copywriting, yes, you may do your own drafts for yourself, but then after that, you may have the opportunity to work with a designer and the two of you will collaborate. But even beyond that, you'll work with your client. Your client will have feedback just because there are things in their heads that you wouldn't possibly know to ask. And maybe they didn't even think to share with you. So you have the opportunity to go back and forth and to really polish the piece and make it as good as it can be. But I think that actually makes it takes some of the stress off of it, because you do have that opportunity to get feedback and to utilize that feedback.
Yeah. I almost feel weird when there isn't any. Mm-hmm. Like a client the other day was like, this is perfect. And I was like, I mean, okay, I'll take it. It's perfect for you. Congratulations. Right,
exactly. Yeah. It's true. And sometimes they're like, all right, yes, you've hit it. And then, although there are sometimes I've had clients who are like, yeah, absolutely perfect. And you're like, okay, did you actually read it? And then a couple of weeks later, they're like, oh, actually, now that I looked at it, like, okay, but I sent the invoice. So here's what it's going to cost you,
the new scope of
to
work.
Make these changes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. That was an important part of like my like journey too. I did work for someone and it was done and they paid. And then I think I might've been with you guys somewhere. I said, oh my God, they just came back. It's 4,000 words and they want 2,000 of it redone because their premise was wrong. They were like, they wanted me to write about 8 things and they took 4 of them and they were like, not these, a different 4. And I was like, oh my God, like this is going to take me a long time. What do I do? Like in my mind, I have just do it so that you can write their next thing. They're going to disappear if you don't do this. And then the other side, I was like, that's so much work. Like, So I'm sad freelancer, but I should have been. I am in charge of my company. So I reached out to you guys and you said, why would you do that? Why would you do it for free? It's a whole new project. And I was like, yeah, wait a minute. So I agonized over this email. I said, look, it's going to be this much because this was done. It's going to be this much. I sent the email. 5 minutes later, he replies, okay.
Yes.
I just spent like 2 hours like worrying about this.
Yeah.
So you're going to do that. Go ahead, go through the process. But just remember, new project, you got to pay. You got to pay for my time. It's hard to get to that mindset, but you do.
Yeah. And I love this story that you're sharing because it reminds me so much of, quite transparently, well, when I asked you about doing the podcast and you were like, my instinct is to say no, because I'm really uncomfortable, but I think this is imposter syndrome and this is resistance. And if it was a student asking me this, I would tell them to do it. So yes, of course I'll do it, which I loved that thought process. But I feel like this is a similar thing, because what would you have said to a student? You'd have been like, absolutely not, don't do the work. And I think we often get into these situations where same mindset as you, I get like, well, let's just make them go away. Like, just do this and get it done so they can go away. But when you stop and think like, what would I tell someone else to do? It becomes a very different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I tell people all the time what my inner monologue is. No worries. And that's exactly, I'm like, if I'm uncomfortable, I have to remember I'm always just a little uncomfortable. But if I'm a little more uncomfortable, it's probably just something I should be doing. And exactly, what would I tell a student to do? I tell them sometimes, what would your like biggest fan tell you to do? Whoever that is, your mom, your best friend, because they're just gonna instantly gonna be like, go for it. Whereas you're gonna be like, oh, but I don't know if I can, and what if I'm not good enough? Have all those thoughts, but end on the one that your biggest fan would tell you to do.
That's so good.
I love that.
Well, and I like that you're bringing this up to, well, I guess we're Kate brand. I like that Kate forced you to bring
this
up.
You're welcome. Yeah. That's what we do on this podcast. We force things out of people.
Because we're very tough people. But I think it's so important, because it can be easy for really all of us to see people who are at the next level of development and think, oh, they've left all of that self-doubt behind. They've left all of that anxiety behind. They've left all of that. And it's not true. And it's not true no matter what level you get to. I was talking to a friend of mine who went to hear a business owner speak, and this business owner was saying that she is now making, her company is now making $16 million a year. And I know, right? Good for her. But what was important was also, she said, oh, but last year, man, I had so much anxiety last year. And there was like a 3-month period where I was just depressed, and I was really unsure about this new thing we were launching. And I think it was, that conversation reminded me of this conversation, because I too had been looking at this business owner going, oh man, she's got it all figured out. Everything just must be so easy for her every day. I mean, not those weren't literally my thoughts, but clearly the fact that that it was so helpful to me to hear that she had struggles too, meant that I kind of was making that assumption. And I know that, I'm sure that our students are looking at you and looking at the other coaches. And I'm sure looking at Kate and I and thinking, oh, wow, they've completely moved past any nervousness. They've moved past any overthinking or making assumptions or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, we never move past it.
Overthinking's my middle name.
Which was very prescient for your parents. So
they just knew. Yeah.
But you always have it, but maybe you learn to move through it a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. And, or you reach out to your network, to your connections, to your colleagues, and say, all right, this freaked me out.
Having a moment.
What would you do? Exactly. Exactly.
And we see those posts a lot too, of like, oh my God, what should I do? And usually before I can even get to them, there's 6 people saying like, charge them for it or apply or do what, like, it really helps to get that outside perspective. And I've seen some students have been in the group for a long time and they haven't interacted on the group yet. And the only way to get through your nervousness about it is just to do it. Like, just post hello, whatever you got to do, do it. And then you'll see that it's okay and keep doing it. And that's for everything, with copywriting, with freelancing, with life. Stop thinking about it. I'm talking to myself. Stop thinking about it and just do it.
Yes. And well, talking to me and Kate as well. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, because how often does it happen for you where you're the people around you, as much as they love you and care about you and your friends and family, they don't get being a copywriter and they don't have necessarily these same thoughts, feelings, concerns. And so even if they can say validate your feelings, they can't really understand it, right? I mean,
oh yeah, that's for sure. And it's like, they'll say, well, you're doing a good job, I know you can do this, and that's cool. And then I'm like, but what do I do about this very specific issue I have with this one project? I mean, it's unfair to even try to get them to weigh in on it, I'm just talking to myself and they're saying yes that time. That's why the group, the other coaches, even it, people say all the time to me, this might be a dumb question, or this might be, it's not. If I know the answer, I'm thrilled. You can ask me the same question 4,000 times. I've got you. I know that one. New questions are fun too. And another thing I notice a lot is people, we say, you know, here are the steps to do this. And then the student will ask me, but like, what should I do? I'm like, you should do those steps too, right? And then there's a point beyond that when they've tried those steps and they say like, well, I really kind of like this part. Okay, now you can do that. Like, first do the basic steps of everything, explore, learn things. And then when you start getting like, I feel like I maybe should try this, do that. Like, everything is, for me, everything's a science experiment. I love the creative. I love the science experiments, but for me, that's what it is. I'm going to try this and then I'm going to be honest with myself about how it worked, about what I felt about it. And then I'm going to move forward from there. There is a list of things you need to do, but then you can branch out after that into like how you feel and how it's working for you in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you got to know the rules before you break them. Right. I feel like it's that type of, type of vibe. Mm-hmm. So along those exploring and figuring out what you like, what you don't like, what have been some of the things you've explored that you found that you really like, or things that you found that maybe not so much for you in terms of projects, clients, industries, all of that sort of thing?
Right. And coming from not knowing at all what copyright even was, obviously I didn't know everything that had copywriting in it. I've been discovering copy everywhere. When you're walking down the street, it's popping up like cartoon animals. And that has been so interesting. And my clients have been all over the board. I'm trying to think of why that has happened, but I don't know. I think I pitch randomly, and then there's people I've come in contact with who then relate me to someone else, and then they come over. So there's a lady in the UK who makes UV decorations, like they stretch and she cuts them, and they're great for like venues. And I Halloween is my holiday. I saw them and I was like, oh my God, they cover a huge space. They fold down into like this. I could add it to my entire garage full of Halloween decorations and only take up this much space. So I don't even know what that is. And I'm writing for her and I'm going down the rabbit hole. There's a guy who created something for camping. I think I was camping once in my life, but I really love looking into these things and becoming that audience and becoming that brand voice. The most recent ones I've started to fall into is self-published books. One of the students had a project about it. And then one of my friends is an author, but he has a publisher. And I was like, I think self-publishing is a thing. So I just joined one of like the self-publishing Facebook groups. And in there, people are asking like, can someone write my back cover? Can someone help with my Amazon listing? I'm like, there's copy there again. There it is again. So I'm still like exploring all the different possible things. Etsy product descriptions, right? Those people on Etsy often want to make their own website because Etsy takes a cut. So it's all over the place, including some, it's not translation, but they write in one language and then I try to help them write where it looks okay in English again. That's more content, but these are all just random opportunities that seem to be coming up, probably through my own hard work.
I was going to say, not so random, but yes.
I wonder how I talked to this person for months and then they told me about this.
I have to be really good at what I do.
Crazy. And that's, you do have to, just one thing at a time. Something you do 4 months ago sometimes leads to something else. You don't hold that expectation really tightly, but you just... I'm saying this as an introvert, putting myself out there is literally just like talking to people on Facebook groups. I'm not going to networking events yet. I might at some point. But that can be the extent of your putting yourself out there if you're worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think there's something, first of all, the variety just makes it so much, it makes it even more fun, right? Like copywriting is already a fun thing to do almost always, generally. We all have off days, but then having the ability or having the opportunity to work with so many different kinds of clients on so many different kinds of projects, it just makes it even more fun. So I think kudos to you. And I think it's excellent advice for everyone just to be kind of open to exploring and open to opportunities that come your way and being willing to kind of, you know, we always say that one of the few places that we're like, yep, go wild, go down the rabbit hole is when you're making your list of potential clients to pitch to, you know, like just don't limit yourself at all. Explore, see what's out there, because there are all kinds of, yes, there are the big companies that you think of off the top of your head, but there are all kinds of smaller companies and smaller organizations and companies and organizations of all sizes that need your help and can be a lot of fun and really fulfilling and really, really interesting. Yeah.
And a good way to also short circuit your overthinking is, should I pitch them? Yes. The answer is just yes. Just go with that. Should I ask this person if they want help with their book description? Yes. There, mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it. The answer is yes.
Love it.
What are they going to say? No, that's fine. People mm-hmm. say no to me all the time too, in case people think that doesn't happen. Yeah, I'll give them a quote or I'll tell them what I think and they can ghost me. They can say no. That's fine. It's not me. They're not saying no to me, the person, just that project.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. So now if someone is listening and they're like, oh my gosh, Amy's amazing. Maybe they want to take a look at your portfolio site, or maybe they're listening and they want to hire you. Where can they find you on the web?
I have a website that I agonized over the name for 3 months. And I went with wordsaboutstuff.net.
Love it.
I was like, that's it. I can't do this anymore. Your website URL does not matter as much as you think it does. If someone's going to not work with you because of your URL, don't worry about them.
Don't spend 3 months.
No, please don't. The guy with .com couldn't give it to me. So it's .net, everybody. Wordsaboutstuff.net. I'm on LinkedIn. It's just my name, Amy Densham. If you can spell it, you win the prize of finding me.
We're going to make links clickable. Yeah. So that's
perfect.
That's why things don't matter, right? Your website, people are just clicking links. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares if they can't spell your name? I have a hard last name. Nikki has a hard last name.
I know.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Amy, this has been fantastic. So many, I hate the term pearls of wisdom, and yet that's the first thing that pops into my mind, just because there's so much that our students have learned from you here, but that our students continue to learn from you every day. And whether it's in the group or whether it's one-on-one calls with you, I know that you just bring so much value to the community, and we really, really appreciate it. Yeah.
I would say nuggets. I don't know. I don't have pearls, but nuggets, I eat chicken nuggets.
Gold nuggets.
Oh, okay. Gold nuggets.
I mean, you know.
Well, like chicken nuggets?
Chicken nuggets. I could go for some chicken nuggets. Yeah. Honey mustard dipping sauce? Yeah. Mm,
sold.
Chicken nuggets of wisdom with your choice of preferred dipping sauce. Ooh, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Amy. And with
Thanks
that.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Our pleasure. And with that, we will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.
Like what you heard? Subscribe to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast so you never miss any copywriting tips, tools, or tactics. And if you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at freecopywritingtraining.com. We'll catch you in the next episode.